Good morning to each one this morning. It's good to be gathered in God's house here this morning. I've enjoyed every aspect of the service so far, and especially the Sunday school lesson and the story of Samson there. It's a very, in some ways, a very sad story, in some ways, a very practical story that we can pull a lot of things from today. And I couldn't help but think in the the beginning of two chapters there, I think it was chapters 14 and 16, and it had said that he went down to, both times was a different city. One time was Gaza, the other city I can't remember the name of right now. But we know that God had called him to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, but it seemed like his motive for going down to those cities was wrong. And, you know, as you think too, he probably thought it was an innocent thing he was doing, where he was going, but we see where the results led him. And so Satan had him, could you say, somewhat blinded, as we talked about in the Sunday school lesson, or he was blinded, could not see where he was going wrong. And it was started maybe by some simple steps of going to the wrong place, and you see where it led him to. I also feel in some ways that I'm not sure why I'm here this morning, because the message that I have this morning is somewhat been talked about already. And I want to focus on the love of God this morning. And Brendan brought that out in the Sunday school lesson. And we think we looked at another aspect of love to some degree in our Sunday school, a love that was not of God. You can turn in your Zion's Praises to number 94. Also, another reason I feel inadequate to stand before you this morning is because this message that I'm going to preach is on the love of God is something that we as humans cannot fully understand, cannot fully fathom. It's something that is above our own mind. And so I feel like I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I don't fully understand this morning. And I just appreciate the song here, very familiar song, number 94. And I just want to read it and just think about the words of the song too. And the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints' and angels' song. That's the God we serve this morning, a God whose love extends farther than we can imagine and extends lower than any human can go. There's no way that we can ever get to a place that's too low that God's love will not reach there. And I had to think of that with Samson there too. He was at the bottom of himself, but yet God still used him. And I guess we do know he is in the faith chapter, but we don't really have a repentance, but yet it seemed like he maybe somewhat come to a realization of his mistakes, and then God did use him. Same way that God's love will reach out to any of us, all of us, no matter what we've done. And also this morning, that last verse there, if we were all men, scribes, trying to write God's love and what it all contains, it's impossible for us as humans to do that. I've been thinking recently, and you can use that title there, The Love of God, for the title of the message this morning. And I've been thinking recently here about this love And some of my thoughts may have come over the last month of February, and we celebrate, or some people celebrate a holiday, Valentine's Day, where love is the center focus. And I think if I understand correctly, you had somewhat of a banquet last evening where you talked about love, and over the last month, it's focused on human love. And as I think about human love in comparison to God's love, there's just some things that stand in contrast, and how that we cannot compare to the love that God has shown to us. I had to also think about the source of love, which Brendan brought out in his devotions this morning. The source of love is God. And we think of that all love comes from God. And it's a question that I pondered too, that Brendan brought up this morning, said, can a non-Christian person truly love? Is that possible? Well, we know there's a lot of different definitions of love, and I think some of that is where we get a little bit confused. Okay, so we know that there's love, God loves us, we have love for our spouse, but in our culture too, we also love French fries, we love a vehicle, we love our job, and I'm not here to delve into explaining the different aspects of love, but I do want to look at the true love, the source of love, which is of God. And as we look at that true love, you notice the world around us, especially over Valentine's or any time that, and also in the life of Samson, it ends up being this love that is cheap and maybe even selfish at times. And that's not at all what our God is this morning. That He is not out for Himself. It's a love that has a stronger desire for us than it is for Himself. And also, as we think of love in comparison to what a non-Christian has, in comparison to what we as Christians experience here, we think of the church we have here this morning, the communities around us, and that love that we have for each other is much better, much stronger than what the world would have to offer, a non-Christian love. I think it was about 2 weeks ago I went to a viewing of a neighbor there at church. It was an Amish man. I think his wife was 63 years old. She passed away. And I went to that viewing, and I could tell that this Amish, older Amish man there, he loved his wife. And you could also tell that the community around there loved this family. They were there. They supported them. Now, this sister, she had been paralyzed for a good many years. I think at least the last 8 or 10 years. She had been paralyzed, had been in and out of operations. The quality of life was no longer there. Perfection was gone. Yet he still loved her. He was committed to her. And I just, as I saw that is so much more than what the world has to offer. And it's at that commitment, and also the commitment of the families around there that come together, they gather together. And that's something we need to be thankful for this morning, because I believe we as churches, Mennonite churches here, and also like the Amish communities, have a love and a sharing that far exceeds what a lot of others around us have. Don't take it for granted. Be thankful for it. And make sure you're being a caring, supporting member and brother or sister. Love for others who are hurting. Love to stand by their side. And as we compare God's love in comparison to the love we as humans try to give, I see in so many ways where our love does not compare to what God is. Even those of us who think we are love our spouse or love the church here at Loyola or love God, know that at times we fail to show this true love. We come short so many times, and in that ways God's love is so much higher than we as humans can, even in our best efforts, can ever give. So my burden here for this message this morning is to see how God loves us, what it is, how we get it, and what it will make us do. And I know that sometimes we as Mennonites or conservative Mennonites tend not to dwell a lot on the love of God, because we fear dwelling too much on that, like some churches around us do, will, if we dwell on God's love so much, we can do nothing to lose your salvation. And I want to bring that out throughout this message. We see there is a connection between God's love coming on us in our lives and a connection in us serving him and obeying his commandments. You can turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. So the first part of the message here is I want us to look at God's love. And this here is probably the part of the message where I feel that, yeah, if I was a scribe and had all my life, I still could not fully understand it or fully write it down, because it's above our human comprehension. 1 John 4, and I want to start at verse 7 and read to verse 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I think as I studied this, the love of God, that God's love for the human race is probably one of his main attributes, or one of the overshadowing attributes of God. But because of sin or man's failure, there's also some other characteristics of God that come out too. We see, and we'll look at it more, his wrath that is poured out on the unrighteous. But I think in the beginning, God was love. And he is where love starts from. Without him, we would not know what love is. God loves his people and wants what is best for them. Just like you mothers here this morning, you have this newborn or a young child, and you love the baby that comes into your life, into your home. You take care of them. They, as a young infant, they have needs. They need your help. They need your assistance. Same way, God loves and cares for us as his children, but yet so much higher and more full than any of us, any mothers or fathers, could care for their children here this morning. But just picture it in that way of a mother caring for an infant. She would do almost anything to save, protect, care for that little one. Same way, God loves and cares for us this morning. God's love is never ending, as the song said there too, that I read this morning. It has no ends. It continues. There's nothing that will put an end to it. Now, there is something that can put an end between us and God, but God's love is always there and available. God's love gives. And that is in verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is a giving love. It gave his only Son so that we as a human race could be saved. It is our only way that we can enter into a relationship with him. It's because of the love that has given. Also, God's love only extends to those who realize their need of him and have accepted him. This love that God had, it says God first loved us. In Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love towards us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God's love was there before we accepted it. And it's available, as I said before, to all who have sinned. God does not love sins, but he makes his love available to sinners. And some people would say that God loves the sinner, but not the sin. God's love also draws us to him. If we accept this love of God, we will dwell in him. Not like a human love where a husband and wife, they love each other, they get married, and they dwell together. In this relationship, God comes and actually dwells inside of us. It draws us so close to him that he is willing to come and dwell with us. And not only him dwelling in us, but we also can dwell in him, making himself a part of us. We see there in verse 18 that God's love removes fear. And this love of God cast out fear. And the thing that as I pondered that verse, that I'm not sure that I totally understand, is he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I think if all of us here this morning, if we were honest with ourselves, have a fear of something, and some maybe more than others, we have these fears that come into our lives. And it says that he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So why do we as Christians sometimes fear? Is this a lack of trust in God's love? And if somebody has any input after the service, I'm open and willing to that, to hear what your thoughts are on that verse. How can we continue to overcome fear? And I believe we need to rest in this love of God. And it's faith. We as humans can struggle with faith at times to truly believe that God loves us and God will take care of us and God has what's best in mind for us. God's love changes our lives. And if we go back to 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Just as he laid down his life, we too are called to lay down our lives. We will do things that are not normal for human nature. We will give of ourselves to others because of the love of God in us. This love of God will make changes in our lives. Turn to Romans 8, verse 36. And under this point is there is no earthly experience that can take God's love away from us. Now, I want to be very careful when I say that. Well, let me read these verses first of all, then I'll go on to explain. Romans 8, verse 36. And it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long as we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing physically on this earth that can separate us from the love of God. There is no human that can put something between God and us that will keep his love from coming through to us. But we ourselves have the choice that we can separate ourselves from the love of God. If we do not accept him, if we do not obey his commandments, we can keep ourselves away from the love of God. This morning, you and I have the power to whether we're going to stay in God's love or whether we're going to remove our life from His love. But there's nothing earthly, nothing physical that can actually get in the way of God's love coming to us. And you think of history where, and even around the world today, where there's much persecution, where men try to stand between other men and God. They try to take away their Bibles, they persecute them, they try to get them to give up their faith, but that is not separating God's love from them. It is a choice that we make here this morning. So what do we need to do to gain this love of God on our lives? First of all, we need to accept Christ and His love for us. In Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John 3:36, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, we see God's love for the world and giving His Son. And then back to 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Again, we need to make that choice. We need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then God can dwell in us. I like that the first verse there in Proverbs is never too early to seek Christ. When we come to this place in life where we realize that there is a right and a wrong, we believe there is a God and His Son who has died for us. And we're at the place that we need to make that decision. We have a choice. Are we going to accept this love of God in our lives? Are we going to accept Christ into our life? And with that comes the love of God. No, there will not be some audible voice calling us. But it's a choice that we need to make. A decision that we need to choose to make this morning. Do we want Jesus to reign in our hearts? And are we willing to give up ourselves and to follow Him? If we do, then this love of God will be in us and abide with us. He's not going to force His love on anybody this morning. He wants everybody to accept it. He wants everybody to take it, but He is not going to force it on you or me. It's a free choice that we have, and He offers it to everyone. And if we've accepted His calling, if we accepted Him here this morning, then we need to continue to follow His teachings. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk to please God. We need to walk daily to please God. And John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, following his teachings, keeping his commandments. This is a very important point that many churches around us today fail to preach on, and that is keeping the commandments, following God's words fully, every aspect of it. We need to continue to obey His commandments if we wish to stay in the love of God. Turn to 1 John 5. Maybe some of you are still in 1 John, but it's the following three verses there I want to read. 1 John 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth also that is begotten of him. But this we know, and we love that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Mainly focusing there on the last verse right now. For this is the true love of God, that we keep his commandments. Follow the Bible, follow his word. And if we do this, we have the assurance that God's love is with us. We also have the assurance that we can make it to heaven. You know, sometimes our human mind and our human body questions. And again, it goes back to the thing of faith. But if we're following and if we're living in God's commandments, and if we've accepted Jesus as our as our Savior, we can have this assurance that we will see Christ. I believe there is an aspect that God is gracious with those who have accepted him into his life. Just like your children, you call them your children, even then at times they may disappoint you. And not unless we deliberately sin or turn our backs on God, will God remove his love from us. And I want to be careful with that point, because we cannot live a careless Christian life and expect God's love to be on us. But God is gracious. God is loving. He loves you just as you love your children. Also want to look at a little bit of, to show how God feels towards those who do not choose him, do not accept him. And first, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Also Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Very strong, very harsh verses here for those who have chosen to disobey God. And also in Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. And as we think about God's love and how strong and how powerful it is in our own lives and how much it can pull us in, brothers and sisters, this morning we do not want to be under the wrath of God. I can only imagine what the full extent of the wrath of God is this morning. His wrath on sin, because if you think of how strong his love is, I think his wrath is maybe even more powerful in a different aspect this morning. What will this love of God make us do? If we have this love of God in our hearts, it will make a change. There will be a difference. And again, my desire for this message is to help each of us to dwell on this love. And God is good and wants what is best for his children. He cares for you. He loves you. He takes care of his own like in no way that we as humans can do. But also, when we have that love of God in our lives, it will bring change. What are those changes? What can we expect to see? How can we know if a person has true love of God in their lives? First of all, we need to lay down our lives. And these are words of Jesus, but I think they apply to us as well. John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. These are Jesus speaking, that he was laying down his life that he may take it again. He was giving up his own will, his own desires, because of the love of the Father. Same way for us here this morning. Because of the love of the Father, we will lay down our own wants, own desires, to serve him, to please him, to do what he would have us to do. Another aspect that I'd mentioned before, it'll cause us to keep his commandments. In John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we want to return this love to God, we will do that by keeping his commandments here this morning. So you know, this love is somewhat of a two-way street. So God first loved us, his love is bestowed upon us. But then in return, we will show a love back to him. And what does he say that love is? That love is in keeping his commandments. That love is in showing praise and adoration to the God we serve. Also, this love will help us, will be showed by our love to others. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Love others as God loves us. And then some of the verses here we read this in 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. And then also in verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. a love for our brothers, love for our sisters sitting by our side here this morning. That's what this love of God in us will cause us to do. Some pretty strong words that if we do not love our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? I think it's a very good way of gauging in our own lives whether or not the love of God is in us, is how much love do we have for our fellow Christians around us. Also, the love of God will have us looking for the mercy of the Lord. And I get that out of Jude verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep longing for Him. Keep seeing His work and mercy in our everyday lives. Realize that He is there working in our lives. He is there active in our everyday lives. Are we looking for that mercy of the Lord? Keep desiring God's love in our lives. Let His love shine through us. You know, if God's love is in us, it will shine out. And God's love is so much brighter. And God's love shining out through our lives is so much brighter than anything that the world around us has to offer. You know, there's an element that we can maybe somewhat shine a little bit on our own. You know, the world tries to shine on their own. But with God in our lives, we shine much brighter than the world around us can do. In closing, a verse from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Again, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, and live in peace, and this God of love and peace shall be with you. Challenge to each of us this morning to, as God has loved us, let's return that love to Him. Let's show that love to others around us throughout this coming week. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.